Now, something different on Sound Advice today. We'd love your call. So we're going to be talking about hypnotherapy. Are you interested? Not quite sure what it involves. Maybe you're a smoker. You've always wanted to give up. Can hypnotherapy help you? Maybe you've got a phobia and you're desperately trying to overcome it. But with me in the studio is Paul Howard, who's one of the directors of the Surrey Institute of Clinical Hypnotherapy based in Warrington. Very good morning to you.
Morning, Tony.
Welcome along. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
We've never done hypnotherapy on Sound Advice before, and I'm glad you could come along because there's quite a lot of misleading advice about hypnotherapy, isn't there? And sort of, if you like, old wives' tales about it.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, it's propagated from things on television, movies and things like that. I mean, you know, a lot of it is ridiculous, really. I mean, all that hypnotherapy is, or hypnosis is a relaxed state of mind and body.
Right.
Simple as that.
Now, obviously, a lot of people are scared of it for obvious reasons because, you know, if you like, if you're not in control, then a lot of people would fear that, wouldn't they? The fact that, if you like, your well-being is being put in the hands of somebody else.
Well, the interesting thing to note there is that the therapist is not in control of the clients. This is a fallacy. I mean, they're not out of control. They're fully controlled at all times. I mean, for instance, if a fire alarm was to go off during a session, the client would be up and out the door probably before the therapist, truth be known. And they just relax with their eyes closed. And it's a very important thing to realise that you're not in out of control. Really.
Yeah.
You're not out of control.
And what kind of things does hypnotherapy help with?
Well, certainly one of the biggest things we work with is probably anxiety and depression. Of course, smoking and weight control are the two very common ones. But we all specialise, we've got about 9 therapists working for the Institute now, and we all specialise in different areas. Things like from psoriasis to IBS to insomnia, alcohol addiction, you know, drugs, even, you know, many, 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 many areas.
Right. Well, if you've got a question, if you've ever fancied hypnotherapy, or maybe you've been put off and you'd like maybe some of your fears to be put at ease, then do give us a call, because as always, it's your show. Give us a ring, 08459 57 0057. If you want to send us an email, it's tony.fisher@bbc.co.uk, or you can send us a text 07786 20 70 70. Let's get to the calls then. First of all, Darren's on the phone. He's been working. Hello, Darren.
Morning, Tony.
Good morning to you. What's your question?
What it is it's actually to do with my wife. She was hypnotized a couple of years ago because she has a problem where she pulls her hair out. And she doesn't feel any pain, it just seems to, you know, her hand twitches up and pulls it out. Now, it worked for a couple of months, and it stopped again, and she's got it in her mind that it was a waste of money and a waste of time, and she doesn't want to do it again, but she keeps complaining. Obviously, she's pulling more and more out, and I'm trying to talk her into going back.
Mm.
I just wondered if there's anything I could do, or, you know, reassure her.
The interesting thing there is it worked for a couple of months. I wonder how she felt differently in those couple of months. I have worked with this quite a few times myself, and I have found that they can regress back to the habits, because basically it's just a bad habit, and it's generally an image issue, the way they feel about themselves or the way they view themselves. In fact, most things are self-image. But with hair pulling, we quite often find that they have slipped back to old patterns of behaviour when they go into stressful situations. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if she's had some success in the past, certainly talk to the therapist you worked with before and maybe have a chat with them and ask them what they recommend for you.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, just thinking, so how long did she stop for, Darren?
It was about 2 months, and then actually there was a stressful situation within the family, and it did start up again.
Darren, can I just ask, what you said she stopped for 2 months, how many times did she see this hypnotherapist?
She saw her twice. First time it completely stopped, and then the second time was a couple of weeks later, just to reassure her brain, really. I think that it was all still working, and to reassure her.
Yeah.
As I say, he went on for ages, and we thought, great, you know, it's actually stopped, and she was becoming more and more back to her normal self. And then it all started again, and it's been going on again for about 2 years, and it's getting her down now.
I would suggest, Darren, what she's done is she's actually hasn't addressed the core issue. She's addressed the symptoms rather than the core issue. There is a core issue of self-image there, almost certainly.
Brilliant.
That she needs to address.
All right.
Fantastic. Darren, thank you very much indeed.
Thank
cheers
you.
Now.
Pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Darren in Woking, first call today. So, bearing in mind what Darren was saying there, if you use a hypnotherapist for whatever it might be, whether it's an issue like that where you're pulling your hair out, possibly anxiety or whatever, once you've seen somebody and then you're on your course, if you like, is it a case that it will return at some stage, or does it go from patient to patient?
It entirely depends. If you've got to the core issue, generally it won't return. If you've just treated the symptom, then quite often it will. It's a bit like when you do weight control.
Yeah.
If you're just dealing with the symptoms, i.e. the overeating, and you haven't dealt with the underlying image issue, then the weight will come back on.
Mm.
You need to get to that underlying issue.
Right, okay. Well, if you've got any questions, it's 08459-57-0057. If you've tried hypnotherapy, maybe you're thinking about it for whatever reason, or maybe you think that hypnotherapy could help you with whatever it might be. Maybe it's a phobia you've got or something like that. Then do give us a ring. We're talking about hypnotherapy today. If you've got any questions, give us a call. 08459-57-0057. We've got Paul Howard with us. He's one of the directors of the Surrey Institute of Clinical Hypnotherapy based in Wallington. And let's go to Shirley next, and she's in Eastbourne. Hello, Shirley.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
There you're through to Paul. What's your question?
Thank you very much. I just wondered if you can tell me if there is any, if this therapy would help acute tinnitus, which is not myself, it's my husband, but it's very, very acute, and he's been down all the sort of management road, or is going down that road, but it's verging now on the sort of virtually impossible.
Mm.
It's very, very difficult. So we're trying sort of all options.
Yeah.
He's having some
acupuncture,
so we wondered if there's any...
Yeah, I mean, I have had some limited success with tinnitus. Really, what we would do with hypnotherapy is really sort of block out the sound, as opposed to, we can't change any pathology that's there.
Yes, I understand that. That did occur to me, actually.
And, some people would say we possibly could, but personally, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. No, it's a physical thing.
So what we'd be aiming to do is, some people live next to a railway line, and after a while, they don't notice the trains going past.
Yeah.
But it's basically what we try to do with him is just that, so that the noise is still there, but it just doesn't register with him.
Well, you see, that's the process he's been going through, because he's had this 20, he's had it over a period of about 4 years, but it was very, very intermittent, hardly once a month, perhaps a couple of hours, and then gradually it developed. And obviously it's now 24/7, and I'm talking screaming pitch, take the top of your head off.
Yeah, it's very
stressful. Absolutely incredible.
It's one of the worst things, isn't it, to listen?
Yes, and the thing is, he has got all the white noises that we listen to at night.
Yeah.
And he has everything at the level where he tries to get it just above the level of the noise he's listening to. So he's going down that management road, but he's physically worn out with fighting it.
The only problem with hypnotherapy, of course, is part of it is getting him very relaxed.
Yeah, but he's quite good. He's very strong. He can, he'd go along with that.
Yeah, as long as you can hear what we're saying and allow the conscious mind to drift off, that's really what we're doing in hypnotherapy, is pushing, letting the conscious mind drift off.
Yeah.
So we get communications with the subconscious mind. Mm. Because the subconscious mind can tune that out, tune to the cell.
Yes.
The other thing, I've actually sent one of my clients to a cranial osteopath.
Really?
And he had great success with that.
Really?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't give me that number, would you?
You
phone's been going off anyway.
Yeah, I know. But I have a contact. She's based in Wimbledon. She's very good.
Yes.
It's Vital Health. You can probably look it up on the internet anyway. Actually, no,
haven't got that, We haven't got the internet, but...
I'll tell you what, we'll see if we sort our number for you, and we'll get you over before 12 o'clock. Just keep listening, okay, Shirley?
Right.
And we'll see what we can sort out.
I've got it here, actually.
Oh, right. Have you got a pen there, Shirley?
I have.
Right, okay.
It's 07956.
07956.
599-484. My name is Fiona Hamilton.
Right. Give her a call. See how you get on, Shirley. Thank you very much indeed. And our best husband as well. That's dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
Awful.
And a few people who've suffered slightly, but not massively. But when tinnitus is bad, it's really bad.
Yeah, I've had a few clients where it's just unbearable for them. Right?
Yeah.
As time moves on, they tend to start to deal with it. But obviously, it is, at the start, it's a nightmare scenario.
So, as you were saying there to Shirley, that you would teach the subconscious mind to ignore it almost.
Basically, it's the same thing we do with snorers. We don't work with the person who snores, we work with the person who has to listen to it.
Yes. Right.
And the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So it actually relaxes them more.
You don't notice it anymore.
That's correct, okay.
A good question actually coming from Tony, who said, I don't want to appear a bit thick, But how does hypnosis actually work? I mean, that's a really good question.
It is a good question. There's various parts of hypnosis. There's what we call analytical hypnotherapy, which will be going back and dealing with any issues from the past.
Right.
And there's suggestion hypnotherapy, which is actually putting suggestions into the subconscious. When you're very relaxed, you're conscious. Well, basically, we bore people into hypnosis. That's what we do.
Right.
We sit there and they get very relaxed. They get bored. And the conscious mind starts to drift off. And when that drifts off, what it is thinking about, I don't know, shopping or what they're going to do today, The subconscious mind is actually open to suggestion because the conscious mind isn't listening to what the therapist is saying.
Right.
And so once the subconscious mind is open, the subconscious will react to suggestions you put into it quite powerfully, in fact. And so what we find is when we actually give the subconscious suggestions in a very relaxed state, the subconscious will take up on those suggestions. For instance, like, I no longer want to smoke, or smoking is going to kill me, or whatever. And that's actually how it works in a very simple, basic form.
Right, okay. Well explained. I thought it was going to be at least half an hour, that one. Let's go to Varda next. She's in Brighton. Hello, Varda.
Hello there.
Hello. What's your question for Paul?
Well, I have a granddaughter. She's in her 30s. But all her life, she has been totally terrified of dogs.
Mm.
I have tried many times to persuade her to hypnotherapy, but she doesn't seem interested in that. But I just wondered if there is any way that hypnotherapy would help her.
Yes, Rada, we are very, very effective with phobias. We actually don't use much hypnosis in phobias. Phobia work, we use something called NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which sounds very, very technical.
Yeah.
But it's really just a way of reprogramming the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Quite simply, she's seeing a visual image of the phobia, a video of a dog attacking or jumping up or whatever it is. There always is one. And then she goes to some internal dialogue, which always starts with the word oh God, oh Christ, oh help, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to the feeling. And what we'll do, what the hypnotherapist will do, is work with that video image that she's got. We'll scramble that image so that the subconscious can no longer scare her. Because basically, you've got to bear in mind that a phobia is a basic instinctive thing. It's absolutely appropriate. You know, I mean, if you see a lion running towards you, it's totally appropriate. You run away and get anxious and run away.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's an appropriate result from an inappropriate stimuli. You know, a Jack Russell running towards you is not particularly life-threatening.
Yeah.
So it's a question of really tempering the result she gets from that image.
She's not allergic to it. She's not worried about animals, of course. She has been actually on safari. And the only trouble she had when she was in Africa was when somebody joined them with two Jack Russells, and she didn't come out of their accommodation for 2 days.
It's very, very common. It's very, very common. It's very easy to get rid of. Normally two sessions. The first session we take away the phobia, and the second session we just make it permanent with hypnosis.
Yeah. Have you got an address or a phone number?
She's down in Brighton, did you say?
Yes, she lives in Brighton.
There's a governing body, which is, okay, have you got internet access, rather?
I haven't, but she does.
She has, but it's hypnotherapist.org.uk.
So
hypnotherapist.org.uk.
.uk.
Hypnotherapist is plural, and that's the National Council of Hypnotherapy. That is our governing body.
And there'll be loads of details on there for you as well, Varda. Thank you for that. You've got a question for Paul today, 08459570057. If it's to do with hypnotherapy, maybe have an ailment of some kind, phobia, whatever it might be, or a habit, for that matter, that you want to get out of, could hypnotherapy work for you? Well, give us a call, and we'll see if we can sort you out, or at least find out if it would be worth your while going down that road. Obviously, the other sceptics would say, what we're doing here is we're messing with the mind a little bit. That must be another worry for people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people think we're going to program them. Well, basically, we cannot get people to do things against their will. Because when I talked about the conscious mind drifting off and I was talking to the subconscious, if I was working with a client and then suggested to the client they write me a check for the full amount of their bank account and send it to me, Their conscious mind would pretty quickly snap back in and say, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so it's, whenever you're giving beneficial suggestions, the subconscious and unconscious mind will be compliant. If it's saying anything that's detrimental to them or against their will, forget it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Because it's not supposed to happen.
That's not
programmed in that way. Really.
Correct, absolutely right. You know, we're really on our guard for that sort of thing, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But all the time, in most therapists, or all therapists really, are working for the benefit of their client. It's not like stage hypnosis. It's totally different in that regard.
What's your view of stage hypnosis?
Well, it's a two-edged sword. On one side, it does bring the profession out into the open. More people know about hypnosis. But unfortunately, it sets up all the scaremongering that's involved with stage hypnosis.
Mm.
People go running around like chickens or I mean, you...
That's always the big one, isn't
hello,
it?
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody actually really has. Or if that's just, it's like the beef burger with the rat in it, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't happen. Not in therapy situations, anyway.
No, no chickens allowed.
No, none of it.
Excellent. More questions on the way. If you've got a question about hypnotherapy today, do give us a ring. 08459 57 0057. 11:32. Back on the roads we go. Let's say hello to Justin Peterson.
What?
No Justin there at the minute. He's never, when Justin's on, he's never there, is he? Isn't it funny? When we have good old James Wally, he's always there. That's we're having a word with the boss. We'll go back to Justin in a second or two, if he'll be bothered to come to the microphone. Just moving on to other phobias as well. If we look at the likes of dogs, people, I mean, a friend of mine had a phobia of cats, for instance. And when you say, what is it you're frightened of? And invariably, they don't have an answer, do they? Because it's not actually being bitten or anything like that. It's just the fact they just don't like them.
No, the cats quite often, it's them leaping up onto their lap or something like that, or coming up near their face. It can be so many different things. But it will be probably an experience earlier on in life that has turned them off it, or an imagined experience. It can even be dream.
Yeah.
That, you know, a cat jumps on their face or something like that. It can be very simple. And they may not even know what it is.
Yeah.
But they will have a visual image.
That's the thing.
Always.
Yeah.
I've never come across a phobia yet that didn't have that. Finding it's the difficult bit. When you've got it, when you find out what it is, it's very easy to get rid of.
Yeah. And as you say, if people imagine it, and that's the first thing that will happen to them when the phobia hits, if you like.
Correct.
They see the thing and they will see the visual image of that.
Yes,
that's
right.
What causes the problem.
And they go to the internal dialogue and they go to the fear. Every time.
Well, if you've got any more questions, 08459 57 0057 is the number as always. Weather for today, we've got mostly dry, bright with sunny intervals, but cloud increasing from the north. A gentle westerly and a top temperature of 9 Celsius, 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight rather cloudy, but still mostly dry, becoming misty with hill fog developing. A gentle northwesterly, minimum temperature down to 3 Celsius, that's 37 degrees Fahrenheit. And then for Tuesday, cloudy at first, but becoming brighter from the west, and that's the forecast. Okay, more questions for you here, Paul. Graham's on the phone. He's in the Worthing area. Hello, Graham.
Hello.
Hello there. What's your question for Paul?
I collect a lot of things about newspapers and that, and things are just piling up. I collect record sleeves and football programs and things to do with art and things like that. But my main passion is collecting football cuttings and historical documents out of the newspapers.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And my wife's getting pretty fed up of it because it's building up and up in the back bedroom. And she says, if we go on like this, you know, you won't have room to move anywhere. So a few years ago, I went to the doctor and I spoke to a special person they had there about it. And she, in the end, it just came to the conclusion that it was down to me to get down to sort through these things and throw them away. Well, this didn't really work. And during this summer, my wife persuaded me to go to a hypnotherapist in the local area. I checked them all through with the yellow pages and that and phoned them all up. And I finally picked one. And she said she could probably get down to the curing the thing that I've got within 2 or 3 sessions. So I had a session of about 10 times, which cost me £340, and at the end of it, I mean, I was getting nowhere. To me, hypnotherapy didn't really work, because you have to lay on the couch for an hour and delve into your past, and she sort of thought that I had an awful experience when I was younger,
right. But
we just couldn't come across anything because when I was younger, obviously with my brothers and sisters and that, we had a reasonably good childhood, no real pressures, and we used to enjoy going up the downs and out in the countryside. And
can I just ask you, what makes you do this? Is it a compulsion? Would you describe it as a compulsion?
My wife says it is, yes.
Yeah, okay, so What happens if you stop doing it?
Well, you just go anywhere and you look in shops.
Yeah, but what's the feeling you get inside?
Well, not a panic, but sort of like, I would like to have this thing and keep it.
Yeah, and that means?
Well, you just lie in the newspaper. If you see a good football picture, then I'll buy that newspaper and keep the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you'd be described as having OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, and you might want to get your GP to refer you on to a psychologist, really, rather than a hypnotherapist.
Hmm.
Although we do have specialists in our institute working on OCD, certainly that would be your first port of call, I would say, straight away.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, there's quite a lot of issues there, isn't
there? Indeed, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we do have specialists at work, but the average hypnotherapist won't be a specialist in OCD.
Mm. I'm glad we brought in OCD, actually, because obviously something we spoke about on the show before, this is something that's becoming more and more common, probably just as common as it has been through life. We're just more aware of it now, aren't we? I mean, there are obviously areas of OCD that you can treat.
Oh, we do treat OCD, but we have specialists who are specially trained to treat OCD. I mean, the classic thing with OCD is they can stop it when they want to. For instance, when a woman becomes pregnant, quite often the obsessive behaviour stops.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she's had the baby, it starts again.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely a thought process that's going on. And, you know, if it's detrimental to the baby at all, then they'll stop.
Mm. How amazing is that? So, yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because, of course, each individual case, again, we're talking about...
Very much so.
...very different.
Yeah, very much so.
We're with Paul Howard today. He's one of the directors of the Surrey Institute of Clinical Hypnotherapy based in Wallington. And if you've got any questions, it's 08459 570057. Let's go to Pam next in Worthing, who's got a question for you, Paul. Hello, Pam.
Hello, good morning to both of you.
Morning.
I just wondered whether there is any help that could be given. My mother had a severe stroke 2 years ago. It's affected her right side, which has meant that she's unable to speak or swallow, and so it must be in the left side of the brain that was affected. Now, reading up, it says that sometimes that people with these sort of disabilities can sort of sing because they use the right side of their brain to actually sing from. Is there anything like hypnotherapy that can sort of help to kickstart anything? I mean, I don't understand, don't understand this at all, but I just wondered.
Yeah, to be quite honest with you, you're right out of my sphere here. I've absolutely no idea. We've never treated anyone with stroke. But actually, that's not true. We have done for limb movement, phantom limb movement, but I've never actually treated anyone with a stroke, so I don't know, to be honest, Pam. It's a simple answer.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So obviously, it's such a massive area, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And it's just, you know, sort of trying to give her back, a better quality of life.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I mean, certainly, hypnotherapists can try, but I would really have no idea as to the... efficacy of
hypnosis for that. Okay. Pam, thank you very much, Steve, for the call, and all the very best as well. Are you okay there, old boy? I've got a little bit of water in there. It's the dryness of the studio, you know. That's what does it. There he is. he's fine, really. He's fine. 08459 570057. Text 07786 2070 or email tony.fisher@bbc.co.uk. Let's go to Jenny next. She's in Guildford. Hello, Jenny.
Hi there.
Hello there.
Hi, Jenny. Hello. I would just like to ask you, generally I'm a very sensible person, and I have a responsible job, and generally my life is very good. But what I have, and have always had, is this panic, which is always waiting to manifest itself through something or another. Now, it could be that I get a butterfly stuck on the back of my earring. Or it could be that my husband bought me a new bracelet for my birthday, and then at a subsequent birthday a watch, and I couldn't put it on my wrist until I was absolutely sure that I'd be able to get it off again because it had one of the funny clasps, you know. Stupid things like that, which I know aren't going to hurt me, even if I can't get the butterfly off my earring, you know, if I have the earring in for the rest of my life, what's it going to do to me? Nothing. But still, this terrible panic sweeps over me. And lifts, I'm the same in lifts, and in a room, if I got stuck in a large room and the door got stuck, I would be beside myself. It's not really a question of space.
Okay, so there's a form of claustrophobia, feeling trapped, possibly.
Yes.
And then, interesting, the jewellery one, I've never come across that.
Well, before I'll put a new earring into my ear, I have to put the butterfly on and off a few times to make sure it's going to come off. Otherwise, I can't even put the post through my ear.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what the theory is there. I'm trying to establish, there's obviously got to be a subconscious benefit. We call these things subconscious benefits, i.e. that the subconscious thinks something bad is going to happen if you do that. And that's the point, is finding out what that subconscious benefit is. That would be the trick in that case. I mean, the claustrophobia over the lift, the room with the door shut, I mean, that's pretty standard stuff, and we can certainly help you with that. I'm sure we can help with the jewellery as well. It would just be a question of doing some questioning and finding out what's actually going on, because you have a belief system going on there, subconscious belief system, that something bad is going to happen if you put this butterfly on without testing it 10 times first.
Wow.
And also, I can't use ordinary floss in my teeth in case it gets stuck.
again, that sounds very similar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Consequences or whatever.
Oh, I can't. You know, nothing's coming to me instantly as to what that might be.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, with some questions, we find it. I mean, you know, finding the subconscious benefit is really our job. That's what we do. Everything we do has a subconscious benefit, regardless.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a little bit about that. And thank you very much indeed for your call, Jenny. All the best to you. When we're talking about hypnotherapy here, it's not necessarily a cure-all, is it?
No, not at all, no. I mean, a lot of things we can work with. Think about anxiety or something. That's a classic anxiety that Jenny has there. And we can work with most things, but obviously if there's pathology for it and there's a physical reason for why it's happened, that obviously makes it much harder to work with.
Yeah.
But it's not a cure-all, no, absolutely not. It's not a magic pill either. Things like smoking and weight, you know, we work very, very successfully with them. But they're not a magic pill. You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of input can be put in by the client.
Sure. And I suppose really half the battle anyway is finding out what causes you to have these reactions. Say, for instance, if you have a panic attack or if you're afraid of something, if you find out the reason why this is happening, then you're halfway there.
Certainly. I mean, that's one of the most important things. If we can find out why it's happening, then it's much easier to change the behaviour. Having said that, quite often we never find out what the reason is. And we have to change the behaviour from the front end as opposed to from the back end.
So it's a whole new regime for somebody.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And sometimes, somebody regime is pretty strong, really. Once you change behaviours, it's fairly permanent. So once we get people to change behaviours, obviously they have to want to change the behaviour. But then once we put in the subconscious that changing behaviour would be beneficial for them, give them a subconscious benefit to change this behaviour, then the behaviour changes very rapidly and very permanently normally.
Well, keep the calls coming in. We've got final calls on the way in just a second to 244. If you want to be part of that, 08459 570057.
Drive time. Hey, how are you? This is Dom on Drive Time today. Well, a stack of stuff. As usual, the missing word game, Big Money birthday game, Foxy here with a look at tonight's telly and Physics Line, and we have Bob Packworth joining us for, and it's difficult to say this way, Packworth's Pit Stop. He's here at 6:10, plus lots of good music and lots of old gags. See you later.
Dominic Busby on BBC Southern Counties Radio.
And don't forget, the new BBC Southern Counties Radio magazine is out now. Four weddings, no funerals, just four weddings. We've also got a Sudoku puzzle for you, a huge one in there. The latest culinary delights from our Bill. John's got some wine suggestions for you. Look behind the scenes. And all for just £2.10, you can't whack the value, available from BBC shops and selected newsagents right now.
In Sussex, this is BBC Southern Counties Radio.
Ten to 12, final calls for Paul today. Let's go to Joy next up. She's in Chaldon in Surrey. Hello, Joy.
Oh, hello. It's nice talking to you.
You too, Mother.
I do have a problem, but it's not for me. It's for my granddaughter, who's almost 20. Well, about 15, I hope you can help me with this. It's a bit of a dilemma. She started having terrible migraines, and they knocked her off her feet. She was sick, had to go to bed, and went through college, and had time off, and it worried her to death. She has got a good job at the moment, but every frequently, she's fraught with these. And going backwards and forwards to the doctor, posing some pills, hasn't really done any good. But we were told that acupuncture could help. And I'm just wondering if you could help me on that line, if it would.
Well, I've no idea whether acupuncture would. Although, having said that, I have got a client who's an acupuncturist.
Yeah.
And she does work with migraines and claims very good success.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with quite a few people with migraines. I myself, quite a bad migraine sufferer, used to be.
Yeah.
I used to get split vision, and it would take 3 or 4 hours to pass from my vision, and then I'd get the savage headaches.
Yeah.
And now I'm able, through hypnosis, through self-hypnosis, is to move that across my vision very, very quickly. Obviously, if I'm working with a client and I get a sudden migraine,
yeah,
I need to be able to move that vision across very quickly. And I can now get it out of my vision in about 10 minutes.
Oh.
But consequently, I do still get the headache at the end of it, but it's nowhere near as severe as I move across fast. And that's just using hypnosis and really relaxing into the migraine.
Because migraines are awful, aren't they? Again, we're saying,
she looks really, really ill. She has to go to bed and you feel sick. And she hates having time off on her job because she's, you know, passed the test. She's got a good job and it just comes on. It's immediate.
Yeah, well, it's actually the food stimulants as well that can cause the problem.
Yeah. But so certainly hypnotherapy is something to look at anyway.
Yeah, certainly for relaxation and actually relaxing through the migraines. A lot of hypnotherapy has some good success in migraines.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Give a hypnotherapy a go. Thank you for that, Joy. Margaret on the phone as well. Hello to you, Margaret.
Hi, Tony. Nice to speak to you.
You too, my love. You're through to Paul. What's your question?
Hello, Paul. Nice to speak to you. I hope you can help me. I'm in my early 60s, and for several years I've suffered with absolute petrified of storms.
Storms, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did have epilepsy years ago, and when I spoke to the consultant, he said, well, it's electrical, isn't it, storm? So it's going to affect you, but it's really quite awful. You know, it's just... It's horrible.
I don't think it's anything to do with the electricity and the storms that's causing your problem.
Yeah.
Certainly, yes, hypnotherapy can help you with that without steps.
Good, I'll have to try that then. So where do I go to get a phone number?
We're going to give a phone number in about 2 minutes, actually.
Oh, thanks, Tony, that's a great help.
Just go a little bit more detail before you go. Is it all storms that you're afraid of?
Yeah, it's all sorts. And of course the thing is I don't look at the weather now because I think the more you think about it, the more you panic.
That's really sure.
But it is actually. And then I'm really frightened. I'll pull the blinds, I put all the lights on. And it really is awful.
And that's heavy rain, lightning, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's it. The lightning and the thunder. The rain, heavy rain, I can cope with.
Yeah.
Okay, but we'll stay with us, Margaret, and get a pen and paper handy because we're going to give out a number in just a second or two from now. This is quite common then.
Yeah, I've treated many, many people for that. I'm the phobia specialist at the Institute. And I have treated many, many people for phobia storms. One lady used to go to a hospital near me. And whenever there was a storm forecast, she'd sit in the canteen in the hospital until someone told her, of course, that hospitals have lightning conductors on the top. And actual fact, the lightning would be attracted to the hospital. And then she was in all sorts of trouble.
Oh, no. You can't go to a hospital. Where can you?
Yeah. So she ended up staying at home. She used to stop anything, pulling the curtains, everything.
Yeah.
But I treated her, really. I treated her twice. Once again, the first time we got rid of the phobia, and then the second time we just made it permanent.
Yeah.
And she's fine. I mean, I've had an email from her a few years back now, but saying, you know, no problems at all now.
Excellent.
Yeah, she even goes out and doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, obviously phobias are the big thing in your line of work.
No, not at all. I do phobia work, but it's not the big thing. Anxiety is what I work with.
That is the main one.
Yeah. I mean, phobia is an anxiety, of course, of sort, but normally panic attack and anxiety, OCD and that sort of stuff is really my mainstay.
Yeah.
That's what I do most of.
What is the oddest one you could pull out?
Bald eggs.
Really?
Yeah, I have a phobia of bald eggs.
Is that hard-boiled or...?
Yeah, what, hard-boiled?
Hard-boiled eggs,
That's right.
How amazing.
Yeah.
I shall never look at an egg the same way. Incredible. Well, it's been great having you on the show today.
Do
come back in the near future. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And thanks so much indeed for all the emails and texts we've had. But now, grab your pen and paper because it's got an all-important telephone number for you as well. What's the number?
It's 0800 849 7001. That's 0800 849 7001. Or you can access our website at www.sich.co.uk.
We've got the numbers there. We'll also put those on our helpline as well. Great to talk to you. Thanks
for having us.
Take care. Cheers.
Bye-bye.